September the 2nd, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 48 Ayah 10 pledge to the Prophet. Ilah God. Ilahin Nas means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community, and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government and his head worship God, who has been in all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. We have heard a caller calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what an intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about a man who makes an alliance for life when they put their hands in the hands of the leader. It is not only their hands, it is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledge their allegiance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we had heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. Hand of Allah above all. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18. Hand Allah above all in oath. Al-Hadith, page 1, 307 and 100, Allah Hand on Group. Bukhari, page 1, 47, 4, with compete to build tall structures. Can I tell you the plain truth? Would you go crazy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you right now through Elijah's son, and I am not a prophet. I am no angel, and I am Wallace D. Muhammad. Prophet President, peace be upon him, said, a sign of the end of the world will be that the poor people will be competing with the rich people in the building of skyscrapers. Isn't this a tall house we are building right now? We are putting together a tall structure right now. And I think that we can compete with the rich, can't we? Not just the rich in money, but the rich also in knowledge. Please, don't repeat what I told you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Elijah's son. You don't want to repeat that. I have been under the tree where the followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, took an oath And they placed their hands on his hands and kept placing their hands on each other's hands. And their hands were supported by his hand. His hand was the first to take the oath upon. They were told by God that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the last hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also verified that oath was approved by him. The Quran Surah 48, Ayat 10, Allah's hand over their hand at the oath. So that is why I mentioned that I had a vision. I did. It was just like it was real that I was with the followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, under the tree when they made the oath to him. The first one put his hand on his hand, and they then kept putting hands over hands in the dream. I came in and I put my hand there. It was a big pile of hands way up there. And I put my hand there. And they just kept on piling them up. And the last hand is God's hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it in the Quran that his hand is above your hands. Prophet Muhammad could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. Now, they were pledging alliance to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So that says even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved it. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. But he didn't want to send him. He's going back. He's going to back him up in everything. So after they piled their hands up, then God put his hand on the top of theirs, meaning that their pledging alliance to the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him was approved by God. That is all it is saying. And it was under a tree. The prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him was a merciful man, a very kind-hearted person. And he didn't want to be in opposition to the scheme of God that existed before him and had be carried out by prophets one after another. So he spared revealing what he knew would wreck Christianity, wreck Judaism. He could have destroyed all of it if he wanted to. At least expose them so badly until a lot of people would have just turned against not only Jews and Christians, but they would turn against religion. And he did not want that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him he was at certain points in his life that really set up with a lot of things that they were doing. It's evident in his work, in his life's work, and evident in Quran too, that he was really burdened terribly by a lot of things that were going on that he had no nature for, but God could not let him hurt God's plan for his life as the last prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, a mercy to all the world. So God would give him understanding that gave him relief. So we thank the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, always on the right path. No, God says we found you straying. Found you weighed down with burden on your back and guided you. So he also was strength. In the Bible of Jesus, it says, is there good in it? Not a one. Not a single one. Everybody has erred or sinned. Even the prophets, the best of the people. The Quran Surah 48, Ayah 27, Allah forgives, punishes whomever. So God has the power to whip us into shape. He uses all the kinds of sticks he can get you any place, any time. He can whip you mentally into form, morally and spiritually and physically. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 27, Intamas, sacred with shaved heads. Judges 16 and 17 to 9. Samson's stripped hair cut 7 locks. Judges 11, 2, 12, and 3. Mary washed Jesus' feet with hair. So hard cut hair equals world can make deep-seated sensitivity conform to wrong guidance. So the mind is secure when the senses are corrected. When man checks senses, will feel God, intuitive urge, intuitive perception, as when he finds peace. Your tendency to follow the instinctive urge has gotten taken you into extremes. So it makes hair short come from those extremes. Take off that growth and bring it down close to nature. Don't cut nature off. Cutting hair is connected with taqwa, meaning they didn't give themselves to the influence of their own urges. They had control. Shave once equals the inbound instinct of intelligent instinct can be made to behave out of its nature. And we have to sacrifice those inner instincts that aren't conforming to the pattern that Allah intended for the life. Long hair is very unruly. It tangles all up. When short, it doesn't tangle. Taqwa. With taqwa, the inner urge are governed. Hair is keener sense, can detect what the flesh doesn't detect. It is symbolic of intuitive sense. See hair raised on the back of an animal equal in net intelligent inbound, intelligent that wasn't learned in a book. Mary Magdalene hair. Hair is water. Another heat brings on water. Sorrow, repentance makes us cry. Mary Magdalene wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears. This is deep-seated feelings in us, sympathy. Tears equal warm water. In A, salt water. Some Christians believe intuitive sense is the spirit of God. You are wrong. That human sense, creation. So Mary Magdalene washed his feet with her hair. Hair equals insensitivity in the human. The ribbon represents a rib that checks the sensitivity, symbolic of dormant, intelligent. It feels what's right and wrong, but it's asleep, and sleeping person is insensitive. Talking about blind sensitivity that's not intelligent, directed, nor managed. So it goes flattering about like hair. Hair also represents fire. When a person runs, it looks like flames, passion, that's unchecked, hair. So Judge 16, 17 to 9. Samson's strength, hair cut 7 locks. Hair sins of religious knowledge. It comes with one's color, with age becomes white. So religious knowledge comes to form in us light of understanding equal white, but it shouldn't turn white. In the end, it should come to you first like this, 7 locks hair. You need a key to open a lock. Hair's strength was in that his knowledge was locked up, not exposed to others. 7 secret knowledge runs a course, then you repeat it. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. O you who believe, avoid suspicion as much as possible. For suspicion in some cases is a sin. and spy not on each other, nor speak ill of each other behind their back? Yes, okay, so very important question. Yes. Now, that brings up another question. I'm going to answer the first that came up in my mind before I answer yours. Then I'll come to yours. Now, in the Islamic society, those who are guilty of fornication and adultery in previous life of the mushriks, idolaters, once they convert to Islam, all that's forgiven. They wouldn't be seen as adulterers or fornicators, okay? So that the first part of the question, the second part of the question is, how do we know those people are guilty of fornication, of adultery? We know because it has been brought to the public conscience. It has been brought to the public awareness. That's how we know. So we are not to go spying on people or to dig up or to ask questions without evidence or knowledge that something exists. We are not to look for adultery and fornication. Adultery and fornication is supposed to be in our eyes when we start to address adultery and fornication. Yes. So the right of privacy is very strong in Islam. That's not only an American right or right of our government and our public. The right of privacy is very strong, right, in Islam. You are not supposed to spy on brothers. You're not supposed to spy on your sister. You're not supposed to be suspicious of them. You're not supposed to act upon any suspicion. You're only supposed to act upon evidence that has been brought to the public awareness. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, eat dead brothers' flesh. Imam, you say you belong to those who you are supposed to be loyal to every other imam. No, you join imams of that Islam. Don't be hypocrite and deceive. Would you want flesh of dead brother to be eating? That horrible sight, picture. Some of them eating flesh of their dead brother. What does it mean? We can't defend it. He can't defend himself. He's absent. You don't know what he's done, what he's doing. God pictures you as savage beasts chewing brothers, devouring his good character. That someone changed picture of the human beautiful body, his living character is same in his absence. You have to chew it away on good pictures of his life. If it's fire, flame, throw it, hit it with that. Mu'min form a root word meaning trust and faith. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, suspicion in some cases is a sin. The Quran, Surah 81, Ayah 21, he was obedient and trustworthy. It is a shame that some of us are so distrustful. In the Quran and in Al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes that to be suspicious is human nature, but to carry it to the extreme may be sinful. Do you know this is what holds us back now? We cannot progress like we should because we are too distrustful of one another. We are given a leader who was called trustworthy before God called him. When he knew nothing of revealed scripture, Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, was called the trustworthy and the truthful. Why is that given to us? To teach us that our leader must be trustworthy. And we then are obligated to trust him. And what is it also to tell us? Aren't all of us called mu'mins? If we are believers, mu'min, what does it mean? I can trust you. It comes from the root word meaning trust, not just faith or belief. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 12, Spana. Student encouragement is to know his own human value. Spying in the United States is un-Islamic. Myth is also science. Imam Yusuf Salim, what are the key components of an Islamic curriculum? Imam W.D. Muhammad, the key component of an Islamic curriculum, you will get them. From my opinion of my opening statement, they are all there. Wholeness, truthfulness, integrity for the body of knowledge, integrity, compassion, openness, encouragement to the student, and the best. Encouragement to the student is for the student to know his own human value as a human person. So there is more, but I think that I said it in the opening about the reality of the world that we live in and how the common belief that we get broke mostly from myths, but they call it religion. Religion acknowledges that it is myths. Myths is not foolishness. Myth is also science. But myth is a different language. So when religion tells the child that God made the man of clay, how long is he going to live with that? He will live with that all of his life. But I guarantee you, it has a negative influence and burden on his education from preschool to college, university, and graduate school. He's carrying a burden on his psyche. If we could relieve that burden, get the burden out of his psyche, which I am trying to do, and a lot of people won't agree with me. Some people want to kill me. Yes, they will. They want to kill me for what I'm doing, but they can't do it because God has called me to do what I'm doing. And when God wants me to stop, I'll stop. As long as I am doing what God wants me to do, they can't kill me. Only God can kill me. I know that. So I fear nothing. Not that I don't have human fear. I do. I'm a mortal. I have human fear. But as soon as I recognize or register the fear, it goes away. Because I recall my Lord. He takes away the fear instantly. My curiosity is always stronger than my fears. There was never a time in my life when my fear was stronger than my curiosity. I'm only sharing that with you to tell you how the way you should be. Don't be afraid to follow your curiosity no matter what the consequences are. We don't mean go and peek into somebody's room. If you have that kind of curiosity, that killed a cat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that we pray into the privacy of any brother, sister, or person. So this saying that they have in the United States is un-Islamic. An Islamic country couldn't do it, tapping phones and stuff like that. An Islamic community, if it follows the religion, first it has to know the religion. Do you think those kings knew the religion? A lot of them are just so dumb as the people walking the streets. In religion, they raise them to know how to present themselves before their public and how to run the affairs of government. But that doesn't mean they have a great insight into religion. How much insight do you think President Bush had into Christianity or the Bible? If he had great insight, you would see a different president, Bush. Some of us, we are naive, even educated ones. College, universities are naive when it comes to understanding this world and how it's constituted and how it works. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes and nations. Genesis 37 and 3, Joseph coat many colors. They will tell you that this religion came to make us all one ummah. Well, I know that Joseph was promised a coat of various colors. It didn't say one color, various colors, and Allah, the Most High, said, and it is true, brothers, or one equal frame, that word that says that the best of you is the one who is best in his obedience to God. There is nothing that makes us superior to none, not our race, not our nationality, not our color. The only thing that makes us higher above one another, it has to be that we are higher than the other person or that other in obedience to Allah, in our taqwa. And taqwa is another way of saying obedience to God. So God said that he distinguishes us like that. So a movement or a belief that wants us all to bend in some and ignore color and ignore national origin or origin national identity or origin ethnicity or origin comparable distinction in Islamic community, in the national community, is a movement in the religion that God intends the very statement that they use as an argument against a person like me, who says that African-American people should build upon their African-American excellence, should build upon their racial distinction. That is good and excellent to build upon their whole ethnicity, though it's throw it down, though we should have built upon that excellence from our excellence. So once I identify myself as a human being with all other human beings, and once I know that God made the first human being, he made me. And I know that whatever he put in that first human being, he put in me. He didn't make no two different pots, one mix, one formula. So when I know that, brother, I am comfortable now in my original life, original self before national identity. First, my original self, and before there was such a thing as nationality, before there was such a thing as ethnicity, before there was such a thing as racial differences, original self exists in existence. Now, upon the original self, I am going to structure my African-American self. I can do. You all believe me, I can do it. I can structure the African-American people in a most dignified image. The natural foundation that God has given it to us. In your originality for every God-fearing man and woman on this earth, I can do that. And I can guide you into a cultural dress that will be excellent. Allah has given me this. I can guide you into a race and an identity that will be excellent. I will make you more comparable. If you say that you are a black man or an African-American man, and anything is. So I don't see the Quran as a book that doesn't have an accommodation for my race pride, for my sober, dignified race consciousness. I don't see the Quran as leaving me out. I don't see the Quran as a book that leaves out my appetite for decent and comparable cultural life distant from each. Culture means dress. Don't you know what culture really means? Dress. God made nature, but then he dressed it. So the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you tribes and nations to know each. So we have to get a curiosity to examine the white man, to examine the sciences, to examine his work, a curiosity that says maybe he is not the best. Maybe I can do it better. If we believe we are equal, we should have that curiosity, the curiosity to feel that maybe he didn't do it the best way. Maybe I can do it better. And didn't Allah encourage us to do that in his Quran? He said he made us from one community, and he made the people, tribes, and families from one man, one essence, one nature, and he spread them out all over the world. And they became tribes and families, that they may know each other. And it says again that he made you different so that you may know who is best in his works, so that you may know who is best in his works. Now, if Allah, one of his purposes is in separating us and making us different races or different communities, is to show, let us know who is best in works, then I must understand then that I should take this diversified pattern of society that I belong to as a challenge to me. God has made a Frenchman and an Irishman and a Nigerian and man from Ghana, a Korean, etc., etc., etc. So he has made them. And this is an opportunity for me to show my place and my worth amongst all of these men. That's what Allah is saying. So we should take this as an opportunity for us to prove ourselves, get into the competition, compete with those people. And you can't compete with something that you think is impossible to reach. If you think the white man is impossible to reach, if you think his knowledge is impossible to reach or impossible to excel or suppress, you are finished. You are out of the competition. But when you suspect that he is not the Superman, when you suspect that he is not God, when you suspect that he is not your superior, then you can get into the competition. And that's what we got to do. Get into the competition. Many of our people have gotten into the competition in the past. They have challenged the white man on different levels. And many of them have excelled them in their times. We don't want to stop that. I find us in 1982, looks like we are more complacent than we were in slavery. So the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, tribe, nations, to know each other. So God created us so we can get acquainted with each other, so we can benefit each other. Because God has placed us in different parts of the world, and we have come into these distinctions, and you have an experience, works, that I don't have, and I have what you don't have. So when we come together, look at the great liberation we will have. We can't liberate ourselves by ourselves. We need to come together with each other. So racism keeps distinction. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. It is wrong to project or depict the prophets as only white, only Jews, or all black. Any community of religious people on earth, regardless of their race and nationality, if they have insight into the language of Scripture, they will see the prophetic figures are not racial, but are human figures and are the prophets of all people. That's the way we read the Quran. So our beauty is in uniting upon what is inherent in our life and nature. So while keeping our distinction that have enveloped what is it inherent, we are to keep the distinction. What we need is mental perception. Perception to know, to draw in the mind or to become clear for us in the mind. Many things affect perception. And perception affects all things for the individual. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes and race. Race distinction. He made you into tribes and nations. So we see each other in the noblest of identity, the human identity, not racial, ethnic, cultural identity. We are one human type. We are equal, shared in the provision God has provided for us. Hajj removes racism. The principle is inclusion, but yet distinction. The Hajj is protection for our unity and our diversity. Every child in a household under the parent, don't they have equal rights belonging to the one family? Don't the parent want to see each of those children pursue their interest that's lawful and legal and become their distinct individual person? That's what God wants for us. That's what the Hajj is saying. I want you all in unity as one, but I want you to keep your distinction that God approves of. My taste for clothing, my career choice. Allah don't want all of us as the same, one mind and one picture. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made tribes and nations. So I believe, God created us for peace, for pride, created us for racial dignity, that God intended for the white man to feel good about being a white man. But he also intended for the black man to feel good about being a black man. That's the problem we have to work on. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 5 to 7, created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says he has made or created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, beautiful pair. So if you don't pair up, you stay ugly. Isn't that right? When you find people who don't want to be with anybody, aren't they ugly? I don't care how beautiful they look in the outer appearance. Ugliness hides inside, makes them even appear ugly outside. So the Quran Surah 50, Ayah 6 to 8. Observe creation. God tells us about his work so we will know better how to begin our work. God wants us to study his work so we know better how to plan our work. So this is how the world became great. So this is how civilization evolved. It is because of the free thinkers, thinkers who looked at the objective reality and took lessons from it, and studied it, and compiled the knowledge, arranged the knowledge, ordered the knowledge so that others will learn after them and be able to further the movement into the promised land, the good life that God created for us on earth and after. So real knowledge, true knowledge, is knowledge we find in the works of God, in the works of God. So that's where you find the true knowledge. So the human being is a marvelous work of God, creator. You study the human being, you get knowledge of the human being's creation. The dermatologist studies skin. He gets a knowledge of the skin from the study of the skin. Eye doctors get a knowledge of the eye from the study of the eye. The doctor who is over and knows how to do their surgery job, he gets a knowledge of surgery from the study of the meshing of the coming together in the interthreads and the workings of the material body. So Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, earth, educate, observe. The Quran Surah 67, Ayat 15, earth, manage, platable, traceable. So don't just think of prayer as something from God and think of fasting in the month of Ramadan as from God. Eating after the fast is also from God. Riding on more than just the spirit, riding on the boat or airplane, 747, that's also from God. Yes, all of it is from God. He created the earth. And you to have this great meeting, the intellect and the life in us embraces the creation. And the creation opens up to us. Then he created all of this to be our tillet for us to engage it, plow it. So if we would have the same sacred respect for the relationship Allah wants us to have with this external world we call the material existence, we can have good products from this external world, and many of them that will give us pleasures, just like the good, obedient children give those pleasures at home when we look at them. So earth studied not bigger than the Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, earth to be observed by every devotee. The Quran Surah 40, Ayat 57, universe bigger creation than man. So when a baby comes here, they do speak. They don't speak Yoruba, Swahili. They don't speak Arabic. They don't speak English, Chinese, Russian. They come here speaking baby language, all of them. And they have to learn our separate languages. So God has created us one life and made us one and the same people. All of us are the same. Then we learn the differences. We have different histories, different ethnic makeups, etc. Well, all of those are additions that were put on the baby. The baby just came here right out of the heaven as one member in the family of human beings. And then our separate locations and life as revealed to us ethnically, racial, nationalism, or whatever it is, it put a dress on the baby. It puts a tradition on the baby. And the dress of the baby is different, and he looks. But if you could go back, cover, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, to God is the eventual return. So when we return, what are we returning to? We are returning to the original Muslim. When you return to the innocent nature and life of the baby, you are returning to the original Muslim, to the first Muslim. And if you are a Christian, you are returning to the first Christ nature. Destiny for all men is good life, peace for all. So the language that we learn is to express, separate us. But if we could find the original language, reverse and go back, and find the original language of our origin, nature, of our pure essence that God created, we want the same. Further, for ourselves, future for ourselves, pardon me. We are all one peace. We all want peace, a good life for ourselves, our families, our children, etc. We all want better, not hell. We pray a lot for hell, to have hell, but we don't really want it. We want what hell, we want heaven. Every man wants heaven. So this is the common life. This is the common good. This is the common destiny. The common destiny is the destiny that God has created for us in every human composition. God has composed us naturally, originally, to want goodness, to want heaven, not hell. The world is full with hell now. But we want heaven. We want peace. We want decency. We want to respect one another. And we want to be respected. We want this earth full with good people who care about themselves and care about others. So this is what every person wants. We cannot have this without respect for the best. If the followers of our neighborhood would return to their better nature and listen to their better nature and choose leaders with their better spirit, and that the better nature that the world could improve sooner, misery would be taken out of our lives and out of our neighborhood if we could do that. But somehow the environment that we are living in these times is not as conducive for us collecting our better sense, coming back to our better mind as it was for man before industrialization, accumulation of money and things that give us pleasure. Cluttered neighborhoods, cluttered buildings, cluttered with dead things. It is not like when it was before man chose this world and made it so crowded and so cluttered. So we need leadership to keep us aware of what is best for the original human life that God made, so that we know that this environment that we survive in every day, when we look across the street and down the corner and all the cluttered stuff that is in our view, when we look out the house, it is not what God wanted us to look at. When we wake up and go out from our private quarters, God wanted us to see the beautiful world of living things, trees and animals, so beautiful. Look how beautiful fall seasons with all of these beautiful colors. See how God made the green things to grow strong and beautiful. But before they go to sleep for a long period of time, until spring comes again, at the end of their efforts, what do they give us? Beauty. Beautiful colors of fall. Look how beautiful it is. They not only gives us beauty, they gives us substance for our life, fruits and grains, and all of these things that we can eat and support our life with. They give us all of that, and they give us so abundantly. And at the end of life, they just drop it, the fruit down, and give it so generously to us. And it gives us beauty and beauty so generously. Now God says in that scripture that he made a parable of human life as a parable of a plant. That tells me that God wants us to give our best before we die, before we taste that winter sleep. God wants us to give our best, give the beauty of life. So if we could be more religious and sincere, philosophers, the prophets, the messengers of God, if we could be more motivated by God's handiwork, his beautiful universe, with all of his beauty, if we could be motivated by that, we would have a power to overcome a lot of these weaknesses that we have and a lot of these trends that sets in and takes us to hell. We would have a power to resist that and overcome it. Universe, bigger creation than man. So earth to be observed by every devotee. Study of the earth increases your intelligence, decency. God says in our holy book, man, don't think that your creation is a bigger creation than the universe. The universe is bigger than us. And when we become separated from appreciating and relating to it, we become smaller and smaller. If we could reach out and start appreciating it, saying, oh, let me look at God's work. Let me look at what God did. And you look at it and appreciate it, it will start increasing your own worth. It will increase your intelligence, and most of all, it will increase your decency. But in man's world, you have nothing to look at but that. You have not the original environment that God created to support your life and to open your eyes up to the great future that God intends for all of us, a great future that will make a paradise on earth for us if we would accept it. We want the same thing. We are the same people. We are the same creation. Science tells us that too. We are the people. We are all human. So this is our first identity. We are human. We are not dogs. We are not rats. We are not tigers or anything of that nature. We are not trees. We are human. So that is our first and most important identity. And because we recognize that as our true identity, we can be served by doctors. The doctor serves the black man. The doctor serves the white man. He is not interested in whether the person is black or white. He is interested in to know if this person is human. He was taught to treat humans. So he has the sciences, the medicine, the skills, and whatever to treat humans. So life could be so much better if we would just close our eyes to everything we think we know and ask God to open our eyes again for us. Thank you. May God guide us and have guide us to his purpose for human life on this planet Earth. Ameen. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 9, rain, water, charged with blessings. It couldn't get its growth without the earth to give us the food, and really the sky gives us food, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this before modern science, says that he feeds from above and also from below. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now, science tells us that where there are rain and lightning and thunder, and that nutrients are formed above in the sky by lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity, the charges of it, and everything, those charges and others I didn't mention, it will form nutrients. And the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this. I was a grown man with a family. And I thought that the sky rained only water. If the sky rains only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious, plentiful, and beautiful harvest from our gardens and farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also form in the raindrops. Comes down with the water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that saying he feeds. If it's only water, he's not feeding, he's giving drink. That's not feeding. So water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he's got something material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. So if we don't love a relationship with that material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to engage our intelligence, our thinking, studious mind, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. Rain, communication, revelation from God. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 265, garden, left, rain suffices it. The Quran Surah 50, Ayah 9, rain sent down charges. Allah compares sending communication from heaven as rain and describes it in the Quran as a light rain steadily coming down. It is not described as being heavy noise with lightning, where almost in 1 minute, it is gone. That is the way a joyful message affects us. God mentions that light rain is not only water. Rain has water and material substance, particles to help the earth, everything God created to communicate his will and plan to help his creation. Morning, the Quran Surah 50, Ayah 10, tall, stately palm tree, Bukhari, page 158. Believers like palm trees. Imams must get knowledge before start teaching. People like palm trees hanging itself while growing up. And what is produced also other than these things that are used to pick quick like garden vegetables is also produces tall and stalky palm trees with shoots of fruit stalk piled one above another. Like you love it so much, you are just hanging it over and over again while you are growing up. So it looks like the tree is hugging itself, doesn't it? So just thankful to God for what is growing inside. And notice here is the same form. God, the tree, goes up straight. And if it is a date tree or an olive, then it spreads out. It does not spread out too close to the ground because if it does, its gifts won't go as far. So it grows way up, then it starts branching out. It is to give you the fruits of a cleaner atmosphere. And it's going to give you fruits of a higher graduation. That means it's more knowledgeable. It went up higher for the more knowledge and lower grade and smaller the knowledge. So it went up high like the mountain. And it branched out up, it would not branch out down here. Like that, the date palm tree. And inside it has more fruit in comparison than the apple tree or any other tree. Up there in that little space is just his big clusters of fruit. And the flavor is more intense than the apple. The sugar is more. The sweetness is more. I'm about to get up out of this seat and shout. Maybe my body does not want to stay in this seat. I'm going to get up. I have to get up. There was a sign to tell the leadership or the leaders of this world, especially we brother imams, grow for a while before you start teaching people. Don't be so quick to think you got it all and you are going to start giving people information in your infancy, instructions for adulthood and manhood. And you are in your infancy. You are not Jesus Christ. You didn't talk in the cradle. You cried, moaned, and groaned in the cradle, laughed, and made trouble. Get out of that cradle first. Go on up like that palm tree. And when you get way up there, where the air is clean and the water is a little cooler, you went up to a zone in your mind. You traveled by mind power and went to a zone a little cooler to a little higher region. All right. And you waited until you had graduated quite a bit before you spoke. And then you spoke, and you spoke delicious fruit. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tall, stalkly palm trees with shoots of fruit stalk power one over another. So these are not the two descriptions of the date palm, though the date palm is a little different, like you trim trees. They cut it so that it will grow up to get more growth. So the more strain on them, the less they can go upwards. So they cut the tree. They cut and trim them so they can go up high. And isn't it this way for the growth of our intellect? Paul said it. What he knew as a child, he could not use it anymore. He threw it away so he spoke, he could speak as a man. So when they are cutting off the wet wrappings and leaving the stem, it is the tree, not the trunk. That is when you cut it, but it is what grows up at the post. Bark of the tree has no information. I have another picture now I want to share with you. A lot of trees, especially in the north, they are covered with bark. And in the Bible I read, that is why I'm sharing it with you, that they are dumb dogs that can only bark. Now, the average preacher in these churches, they don't know that that is talking about the tree of knowledge and that they are dumb dogs that can only bark. Now, the bark is not really a part of the continuous growth of the tree. It is something growing on the outside of the tree, and it is giving protection, all right. It is covering the tree to protect the real life that is growing upward. But the bark can't teach you anything. You take the bark off and research it, it teaches you nothing. But you cut the tree and it gives you its age. It shows you how old it is. Every year, there is another ring. Salakallahu Dadeem. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Before we conclude this evening, we are asking you to make a prayer for the victims of this storm. It's been a terrible storm, did a lot of damage. And if you close by, you can help physically, do so. And if you can help financially, please do so. And if you can't do anything but pray, we're asking you to pray. Pray. Pray for all the victims, because prayer really helps. You will find out in your life that if you pray more, you'll see more light and more things happening good in your life. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. We thank New Africa Excellence, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We thank New Africa, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. I believe we cut ourselves off for a minute. And what I was saying is we want to pray for the victims of this storm. And if you can help physically, do so. If you can help financially, do so. But if you can't do anything but pray, because you will find out that prayer helps. We don't pray enough. If you begin to pray enough, watch and see how bright your life will become, how God will bless you, Allah will bless you in your life to overcome those problems that you have in your life as problems. So we thank Murad, New Africa, excellent Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. And I thank New Africa, excellent, Allah speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.